Everyone, and welcome to the Trim Radio Network. And you could come on over to the Trim Radio Network where you can listen in, you could buy our merchandise, and we'd love to see you in it, and it helps us stay on the air. And I'll tell you what, if you want to be a part of our Trim Radio Network team, all you have to do is message us. Also, the opinions expressed by my host, co-host, guest, myself, and others is not necessarily that of the Trim Radio Network, its owners, managers, or others. Any information shared by us is not to be considered to be used as advice. We inform, we don't advise. We also have a call-in number, 803-866-1667. Call in, give us your opinion. I'd love to hear it. No cussing or swearing, as you just heard me do before, and I apologize. And this song right here, Play the Game Tonight, Kansas. Covered under our BMI music license, 6105-1658. And let's get right to it. Welcome to Offsides, college football's top 25. And let's go over it all, folks. And let's see what we got going on. Last weekend was a huge week. And here we go. We're going to cover, right now, real fast, we are going to cover who is number one. You know, they have Georgia up there, the Bulldogs. They beat Auburn. I disagree with this. Frankly, right now, in my personal opinion, it should be the Michigan Wolverines. They should be number one. Georgia Bulldogs, number two. Number three, they have Texas Longhorns. And you know what? They do look good. They do look good, so I'd leave them there at number three. Number four, the Ohio State Buckeyes, 4-0. And, you know, these teams are pretty solid. Florida State Seminoles. They're good. They struggled at Boston College. They struggled at Clemson. These two teams are not what they used to be. And there's no question in my mind. Do I put Florida State at number five? Absolutely not. I'm sorry. I don't think that they deserve to be there. And I'm not Big Ten bias, and I'm not Pac-12 bias, but I'd have Washington Huskies there at number five. And I would have probably Penn State at number six, where they are. And I'd have the Seminoles at number seven. Maybe number eight, because I kind of like the Oregon Ducks over them. But everybody has struggled. So, you know, Washington struggled last week, defeated Arizona 31-24. Penn State struggled for the first half. They ended up beating Northwestern 41-13. But, you know, it's still not dominant right off of the start. And, you know, the Seminoles, they were idle last week, like Ohio State. And the Buckeyes, of course, they beat Notre Dame. Is Notre Dame for real? Yes, they are. I believe that they are, because Duke is a good, good team. And I think that they're going to surprise a lot of people if they don't win the whole thing there in the ACC, because I think they have the opportunity. I think Florida State, you better bring your A game, because Duke will unseat you if you're not prepared. But, Texas, they upset Kansas 40-14. And then you look at the Wolverines, they beat pretty handily Nebraska 45-7. And they've scored at least 30 points and allowed seven or fewer in all five games this year. I mean, they're pretty good. And, of course, the Bulldogs, hey, this is the second time now that they've struggled. 27-20 win, okay, against Auburn. They struggled against South Carolina. And the SEC has some great teams. But let's move on. Let's get on up there. We have number eight, the Oregon Ducks. They defeated Stanford 42-6. And then the Trojans, USC. I got to tell you, they look like they were sailing. They were up at one point, 41-14. That game ended up 48-41 to Colorado. Is Colorado a good team? Yes, they are. They are a good team. And somehow or another, they came back to show that they're a good team. And you know what? They are. Notre Dame really had to prove it Could they bounce back after that heartbreaking loss to Ohio State? They did. They beat Duke 21-14. And there are 30 consecutive regular season games against ACC opponents. Next week, they take on Louisville. We're going to see what they're made of, but I think that they're not going to have a problem. The Crimson Tide, 4-1, defeated Mississippi State 40-17. They're looking better. It's like, okay, we found our identity. We found the quarterback. Now we're ready to go. Oklahoma Sooners, they won 50-20 and defeated Iowa State. And you know what? Dylan Gabriel, he did real well. I mean, 5 touchdowns, 3 passing, and 2 rushing. So we'll see how they do against Texas this week. That a huge game. Huge game. So you have Texas and you have Oklahoma coming up. That's it. Noon on ABC. That's this week. Washington State Cougars. Another team, 4-0. All of a sudden, the Pac-12 is looking good. So they're number 13. Number 14 is the North Carolina Tar Heels. Again, they've got Syracuse coming up. We'll see how good they are. But they look good. Oregon State. Whoever expected that? Them knocking off Utah 21-7, 14 points. And I know Utah didn't have Cam Rising. I understand that. But you know what? They still had a good defense, and Oregon State just beat them. That's just all there is to it. So they're ranked number 15. Ole Miss Rebels, well, they defeated LSU 55-49, another close game, and they're 4-1. Miami Hurricanes, 4-0, and they were idle. So we'll see. You know, next week they've got Georgia Tech. That's at 8 o'clock p.m. on the ACC network. The Utah Utes, well, 4-1, they lost Oregon State. Oregon State has now beat them a few times. And the Duke Blue Devils, they fell to number 19. And you know what? I think they're better than Utah. They lost to Notre Dame 21-14. And Notre Dame had to have the final drive. Welcome to the same situation that Ohio State was in. Kentucky, the Wildcats, whipped Florida 33-14. And now they've won 3 in a row against Florida for the first time since 1948-51. They've got Georgia. I'm going to tell you, if anyone beats Georgia, there's 2 teams that I like that could do it. Kentucky is number 1, Missouri is number 2. So, and they've got to face those 2 teams. So this will be interesting. They've got Georgia, and that's on Saturday, 7 p.m. on ESPN. Number 21, Missouri Tigers. Here we go. Well, I expect them to whip Vandy 38-21. Next week, they have LSU at noon on ESPN. If they knock off LSU, look out. The Volunteers, Tennessee, number 22. And they defeated South Carolina and took revenge for what happened last year, 41-20. And they did it really easy. I think this was been an unfair ranking for Tennessee. I think that they should be way higher. And you know what? I don't like the ranking. Out of one loss teams, I like Tennessee. I really do. Tennessee and Duke. Number 23, LSU. They lost to Ole Miss. They're 3-2. Why are they still in there? Why? I'm sorry, you're done. You're out. You have teams like Maryland who are 4-0. So why are they still in there? I'm not sure I understand that ranking, and I disagree with it. And number 24, Fresno State, they're 5-0. And they're ranked behind LSU. I have no doubt in my mind. LSU would either lose that game, but Fresno State is tough. And then you have at 5-0, Louisville Cardinals. All right, so we've got Louisville and Notre Dame playing 7:30 p.m. on ABC, and that's Saturday. I mean, we have some great games coming up. We're going to really start to see who's who. And this is going to be, we're at that time of year now. This week and next week, we're going to find out who's who. But right now, everybody except for like 2 teams, I think, look vulnerable. And I've got to say, it's Michigan. The Wolverines look like they have it together on just both sides of the ball. They're very consistent. And I have not seen a kink in the armor. I'm just not seeing it. We're going to find out about Texas. We're going to find out when they play Oklahoma. So we'll know that on noon Saturday on ABC. But Texas looks real good, and they knocked off Alabama. I mean, they have a good resume. We're going to find out a lot about Ohio State when they play Maryland, who's undefeated and not even ranked. And LSU has two losses, and they're ranked. There's a little bias there, I think, with the SEC. But I don't think you can have that this year with the NIL and everything that's happening. I think you have a lot more parity that's out there. So it's going to be very interesting to see how everything goes along here. And we're going to take a look. I'm going to take a look. Let's get the coaches poll reaction. That's another one. Oh, geez. Here we go. And I just think that some of these things are, I don't like them. The coaches poll seems to be a lot more accurate for me. And I know the FBI poll that's on there, they have Ohio State at number one, I believe it is. But here's the coaches poll, the top 25. They have Georgia number one. And, of course, they had 59 votes. Michigan, number two, and they had one vote. Ohio State, number three, and they had two votes. Texas, number four, with one vote. Florida State, number five. Penn State, number six. USC, number seven. Washington, who had a vote, number eight. Oregon, number nine. Alabama, 10. Notre Dame, 11. You know, number 12, Oklahoma. 13, North Carolina, 14, Washington State. Ole Miss is at 15. Oregon State is at 16. Miami is 17. Number 18 is Tennessee. That seems to me a little bit more how Tennessee should have been aligned. 19, more up maybe. More up. Out of one loss teams, I still take Tennessee, you know, over an Ole Miss team. I'm sorry, but I would. Then you have number 20 is Kentucky, 21 is Duke, Missouri is 22, and again, they had LSU at 23. And I'm sorry, and Fresno State at 24 and Louisville at 25. I'm taking them out, and I'm putting Maryland in there. They're 4-0. And you can't tell me it's who they've played, you know, well, the first three games are a joke. Listen, cream puffs for Georgia the first three games. Cream puffs for a lot of the top 25 teams the first three games. Games you expect them to win. Games that you figure that they'll escape no problem. They're tune-up games getting ready for the, you know, what we would think the regular season in the conference. So there's not a doubt about it. You know, if you lose to one of them, you do have some serious problems. And some of these teams have played very close games. So, you know, Florida dropped out, but they did. They had a terrible loss to Kentucky. Kansas, they dropped out after that 40-14 loss at Texas. And Kansas State, they dropped, you know, they moved up. But the Wildcats were off this last weekend, but lost votes as other teams moved up. So, biggest poll, biggest movers, LSU down. Utah down, Kentucky down, Duke down. Why would you say Duke's down when they play Notre Dame the way that they did? Notre Dame had to come back. I don't think that that's a fair assessment. And then you're going to punish them on top of it. And Notre Dame is an excellent football team. I'm not sure how that works. So it's going to be very interesting to see where things go. I just, you know, Maryland has, they're the next ones in line. And then, of course, you have Kansas, then they have Texas A&M, then Air Force, UCLA, Clemson, Iowa, Wyoming, Kansas, Tulane, James Madison, West Virginia, BYU, Wisconsin, Marshall, Ohio, Memphis, and Florida. You know, the Bobcats, you know, they've had one loss. Okay? I mean, they're looking really, really good. West Virginia is another team that looks very, very good. And they're going to upset some people. I mean, it's Wyoming, another team that could, you know, really do a lot of damage. And Maryland, they're probably they really should have been in the top 25. I'm very, very disappointed that they kept LSU in there. Frankly, LSU should have been others receiving votes. And that's just how it should have been. But don't write these things. We just kind of live by them and do the best that we can. So, going back, as we're looking at this, I'm going to give you my predictions. And let's take a look at how we're going to do this here. Uh-oh, we went back. Da, 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 da. All right. So what is next? Here we go. Saturday, Georgia and Kentucky. This is going to be a very hard one to pick. Does Georgia have it all together? Are they playing above the level of their competition, just above? So far, they have been. I'm going to pick Kentucky. I'm going to pick Kentucky for an upset. Kentucky's hungry. I think they're tired of being beat down. And it's time for them to shine. And I'm going to pick Kentucky. If they pull it together like they've been doing, I like Kentucky in that game. Michigan versus Minnesota, 7:30 p.m. on NBC. I'm taking Michigan all the way. And as we go on down, let's look at Texas. Texas and Oklahoma, that, you know, that's going to be a game right there. Quinn Ewers is a great quarterback. I think Oklahoma is better on paper, Texas is better on paper than Oklahoma. I'm going to take Texas in that one. And I just like Texas in that one. Ohio State and Maryland, noon on Fox. Well, I've got to tell you, Ohio State looks good. Maryland looks good. Ohio State is better on paper. But we're going to have one of those days. McCord has to have a good day. They've got to find a way to get Marvin Harrison and Ibuka the ball. And they're going to have to start that aerial attack and start marching. If you're going to start doing the running game, you know, Trayvon Henderson is good, but it's time to start using Chip Traynham now. You know, it's start using him. He's a big boy. He's fast. He can move. Maybe it's time to let's get him going and keep Stover and, you know, keep that tight end going, man. That's the only way you're going to do this. If they can do that and the defense can keep playing like the defense has been doing, they'll take out Maryland. And will it be close? Not so sure, but it's a 4-0 team. They're a good team. So we'll see, but I like Ohio State in that one. Florida State, Virginia Tech. I like Florida State. Virginia Tech is just, they're just not there. Then you've got Penn State. Well, they're playing UMass. If you blow this, I mean, I'm sorry. You know, you've got some issues. So Franklin better, you know, I would hope he'd have his team together. You know, it's UMass. That's one of those tough teams that I said, the cupcakes that come along. And how they slip one in there at that point, you know, congratulations. here we go, number 7 versus number 8. Washington Huskies go against the Oregon Ducks. And I've got to tell you, I like Oregon in this one. I really do. I think that Oregon has a very explosive, you know, offense. And their defense plays just well enough that they can handle. So I like, but it is at Washington. So, but I do like the Ducks. I like the Ducks in that one. We get on down to USC. They're playing Arizona. Arizona is one of those teams. Listen, Arizona is another team that, you know, they like to stick around. They're tired of getting kicked around, okay? So the Wildcats, I think, have the ability. They're growing. They're growing up. They're keeping these games close. But Arizona could upset the Trojans. I mean, Colorado gave them a game. I mean, they gave them a game. A team that won one game like last year. They've already got three. I know they're 3-2, but I still have to say the one game was a blowout. No question. Oregon just beat them up. But when you got to USC, the Trojans, your defense, well, let's just say it. It stinks. Okay? It reeks, man. I could smell it from way over here, and it smells bad. You want to score more points than the other team, and that's a great approach, but your defense has to do something, and they just haven't done it. Arizona could upset them. Don't be surprised if they do. I like USC. We'll just see how this one plays out. I'll take USC, but Arizona could very well upset them. Notre Dame going to Louisville. I like Notre Dame in this game. I think that a lot of people are just underestimating them. This is the first time, you know, that I have kind of backed Notre Dame as not being a paper, a paper champion. They are really physically tough. And I think that they showed it. And I think that they're going to show it again at Louisville. So Alabama, Crimson Tide, they're going against Texas A&M. Now we're going to know what Alabama's made of if they blow them out. If they don't blow them out, I think that we're going to have there's a new command coming up in the SEC. And I mean, it's already shown the last 2 years with Georgia, but this is not the same Georgia team as last year and the year before. I'll just tell you that now. Different team. So we'll see if they can carry it over, if Kirby Smart can carry it over or not. But Nick Saban, I just don't think with the NIL and with everything going on that he's going to be the Alabama of past. But we'll see how Texas A&M does with it. I like Bama in that one. And I already told you who I liked with Oklahoma and Texas. I like Texas. Washington State Cougars at UCLA. UCLA is another one of those tricky teams that you just don't know who's going to show up. But if they show up, you're in trouble. But I like Washington State. I'm staying with the Cougars. The Tar Heels, they're taking on Syracuse. Syracuse is not a bad team. Now, they showed it. I know Clemson beat them. But, we'll see how that carries over. North Carolina looks tough. Very physical team. Does it come to an end this week against Syracuse? I like the Tar Heels. We'll just have to wait and see. And here we go. Oregon State Beavers, they're going to be at Cal, the Cal Bears. Oregon State, I like that. Oregon State right there. Ole Miss Rebels in Arkansas. Ole Miss has a loss. But they did defeat LSU, and I'm not a big, Kiff fan, so I'm going to go ahead and take Ole Miss. I like Ole Miss on that one. The Hurricanes, they're at Georgia Tech, no question. I'm taking the Hurricanes. Utah, let's see. Well, I think they're idle, and then after that, they're going to Cal. October 14th. Okay, Duke Blue Devils. They are going over to NC State, and they're going to beat NC State. I like that. All right, and here we go. Like I said, Georgia and Kentucky. I like the Wildcats. I think you're going to see just a good team. They just absolutely dismantled Florida. So I like the Wildcats in this one. And the Missouri Tigers, well, they've got LSU. LSU takes another loss. They go 3-3, and then they are out of the top 25, as they should have been to begin with. So I think Missouri has the capability and can beat LSU. Let's see how that one goes. They're 5-0, and we'll see how that one goes. Tennessee, what's next? October 14th at Texas A&M. I still like Tennessee with that game. I just think that they're fast, they're physical. How Florida beat them, I have no idea. Bad game, whatever. Totally terrible calls in that game. We all saw it. So many holding calls and everything else. And you're in the swamp. It was almost like they got paid off. So, 23, the Tigers. Like I said, I think that the Tigers get beat by the Tigers. So, and then they're done. Fresno State, here's the game, man. This is a great game. Fresno State at Wyoming. I'm taking Fresno State, but don't be surprised if Wyoming upsets them. I'm just going to tell you. Very capable, very good Wyoming team. And I think that they're going to show it. And the last one up, number 25, like I said, Louisville Cardinals at Notre Dame. I like Notre Dame. Cardinals become 5-1. So, anyway, that is it. That's all I have. I want to thank you for tuning in to Offsides, College Football's Top 25. That's my games. Those are my picks. You know, I hope that whatever picks you make turn out the way that you want it. That's the way it is. But anyway, that's how we go. And folks, we are out of here. Thank you for tuning in. I am most grateful and appreciative to all of you. You can always email me, you can always message me and tell me what you think, but that's the way I see it, folks. God bless and take care. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Trim Radio Network. And I'll tell you what we got going on right now is we've got Slobber Knocker with Austin Neely. We are live as he goes over his Pro Football Week 4. Anyway, without further ado, I am going to hand him over to you because we have a show right afterwards. So stand by afterward for Stu's show, My World, Live, Laugh, or Whatever. But right here is Austin.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Slobber Knocker Talk. Today, we're going to go over Week 4. We're going to do things slightly different. I'm going to talk about who's leading what in each position, as in who is the leader of the stats for right now. Obviously, we're still going to go over the games and who won. So let's start. Lions versus Packers. Lions take it 34-20. Falcons versus Jags. The one week I didn't root for the Jags to win, and they win 23-7. Rams versus Colts. Rams take it 29-23. Ravens versus Browns. The Browns just need to figure something out because they're looking like they did in the early 2000s. 28-3, Ravens take it. Vikings win their first game, 21-13 over the Panthers. Panthers, well, they're not too bright, so we're just going to let them have their losing season. Bengals versus Titans. Titans take it at 27-3. Bucks versus Saints. Bucks 26-9. Dolphins versus Bills, which I thought was going to be a close game given how dominant the Dolphins have been. But the Bills take it 48-20. Broncos versus Bears, 31-28. Commanders versus Eagles, 34-31. Steelers versus Texans. Texans take it 30-6. Raiders versus Chargers. Chargers 24-17. Cardinals versus 49ers. 49ers 35-16. Patriots versus Cowboys. Cowboys take it 38-3. Chiefs versus Jets. Chiefs take it 23-20. Seahawks versus Giants. Seahawks take it 24-3. Some things I do want to point out about some of these games is the Bills versus Dolphins game. Tua still played well. He just didn't play teams like the Bills defense. Or played against a caliber quarterback of Josh Allen who can execute every time the defense does something good. Josh Allen was 21 for 25, 320 yards, and 4 touchdowns. He missed 4 throws the whole game. That's very accurate, the most accurate a quarterback has been in the last couple years, besides C.J. Stroud in the Texans game this week. Still not as accurate as Josh Allen, but still one of the more accurate quarterbacks in the league right now. Stephon Diggs had 6 receptions, 120 yards, 20-yard average per catch, and a three touchdowns. The Dolphins went from dominating a Broncos team to looking like pushovers and letting a man just casually get 20 yards every time he catches a ball. Well, I don't know what happened. It's football. That's all I got to say. For the Dolphins, the running back, Akane, looks good. 8 carries, 101 yards, 12.6 average, 2 touchdowns. They obviously found out they weren't getting it done through the air, so they're like, screw it, let's run it on the ground. Eagles versus Commanders, Jalen Hurts still looking good like he did last year. 25 out of 37, 319 yards, 2 touchdowns. Two of those touchdowns were thrown to A.J. Brown with 9 receptions, 175 yards, 19.4 average yards per catch. That is ridiculous. Titans should have never gotten rid of him. They should have never tried for D-Hop. The Titans have went from an amazing team to they're going to win games but not go to the playoffs. Devontae Smith, 7 receptions, 78 yards, 11.1 average. It's more or less his route running and speed. He's incredibly fast. He's got hands and one of the best young receivers coming out of college on his second year. Sam Howell, though, from the Commanders, 29-41, 290 yards, 1 touchdown. That's not amazing stats, but if you given the team that he has, he's doing really good. He's leading them to close games. None of their games have been blowouts, so they're climbing. They're not going to be playoffs. They might be, but I doubt it. Definitely going to be a winning season, though, just not into the playoffs. Terry McLaurin, again, it doesn't matter who his quarterback is. He's going to make receptions. He's going to get yards. 8 receptions, 86 yards, 10.8 average. He just runs clean routes and has amazing hands. Great contested catches. He just needs a better quarterback and maybe just being a different team. He's been holding the Commanders, Redskins together, whatever you want to call them, for a while now with, I believe it was 10 quarterbacks in 4 years. It's crazy, and he's still putting up 1,000-yard seasons. Vikings versus Panthers, Kirk Cousins, 12 for 19, 139 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, still one. But the whole point of that game I want to focus on was Justin Jefferson, 6 receptions, 85 yards, 14.2 yards per catch, and 2 touchdowns. Jefferson, ever since becoming in the NFL, has been a leader for the wide receiving core of the whole NFL. And we'll go over that a little bit later. Just to break it down for the Week 4 predictions, against me and my wife, she guessed 8 correct, I guessed 12 correct. So, she didn't win this week. Her luck might be running out. For the leaders of the NFL right now, for quarterback, the passer rating goes number 1, Brock Purdy, 115.1. Second is Tua Tagovailoa, 114.4. Next is Russell Wilson at 106.7, Josh Allen at 106.6, and Justin Herbert at 106.3. This isn't saying that they're the best. They're just saying as a quarterback as a whole, they're in the upper threshold. They're the elite of the elites right now. Passing yards, Tua Tagovailoa takes first with 1,306 yards. Matthew Stafford has 1,229 yards. Kirk Cousins, 1,214 yards. C.J. Stroud, 1,212 yards. Justin Herbert, 1,106 yards. C.J. Stroud, first year, terrible team, no weapons, is number 4 with very good veterans in Stafford and Cousins. Herbert's been in the league, everyone knows his name. A little bit longer than Stroud, still one of the best there is. Same thing with Tua. All top-tier quarterbacks. All the old dogs are finally retired. It's time for this generation's it quarterbacks. No Mahomes, though. That's surprising. Maybe it's Taylor Swift being at the games. We don't know yet. Passing touchdowns. Kirk Cousins has 11. Tua, Wilson, and Allen have 9. Jordan Love and Mahomes have 8. Mahomes finally made it on a list. Interceptions. Jimmy Garoppolo and Daniel Jones have 6. Howell, Fields, and Stafford have 5. Mind you, Stafford is still leading in yards, but that doesn't always mean you're doing fantastic. Rushing yards is Christian McCaffrey, 459 yards, with everyone else having low threes. He's showing everyone why he is still an elite running back. Attempts, Christian McCaffrey, 80 attempts. Touchdowns, Mozart and McCaffrey. He is leading all three parts of the rushing category, and he's going to continue to do it with an O-line like the 49ers. Expect him to win the triple crown for running backs. Receiving yards, Justin Jefferson, no surprise there, 543 yards. Nakua, 501 yards. Tyreek Hill, 470 yards. He had 250 of them in that game against Bronco. So, speed helps. Keenan Allen, 434 yards. There's no surprise there. He's being thrown to by Justin Herbert. And finally, the wide receiver that is helping C.J. Stroud be where he is at on the rankings, Nico Collins, 430 yards. A no-name. Only played since week two. And without him, Stroud would have to run. Nico is looking very good for a wide receiver who is pretty much unknown. I think he was practice squad for another team before he came, or he was very low draft. Not much is known about him that I have found. And anytime I've looked, it just runs me around between two different colleges and different teams. So he might be a journeyman. Receptions, Nakua's 39 receptions, Keenan Allen 35, Devontae Adams and Justin Jefferson have 33, and Stephon Diggs has 31. And that's funny, because Stephon Diggs left the Vikings on bad terms, saying that they will never find anyone as good as him. They found better, and it's going to stay that way. Diggs is getting old, Jefferson's still young. Jefferson came back from a knee injury and looked like nothing even happened. Touchdowns, Tyreek Hill has 4. 3 of them were against the Denver Broncos. They could not cover him. He wants to prove that it wasn't Andy Reid that led him to be an amazing wide receiver. In 2 back-to-back years with the Dolphins, he has been up there with the top 5. And Stephon Diggs, he has 4 touchdowns, just like Tyreek Hill. And then there's 11 other wide receivers that have 3 touchdowns, so they just stopped with numbers 1 and 2. Sacks, T.J. Watt, Khalil Mack, and Josh Allen all have 6 sacks. Not Josh Allen, the quarterback, but the linebacker for the Jags. Myles Garrett, 5.5 sacks. And Danielle Hunter from the Vikings, another name that wasn't expected to be big this year. 5 sacks. He's up there with the bigger guys. And surprising thing is Nick Bosa's not on there, which is crazy. He got the deal he wanted. He became the number one linebacker for San Francisco 49ers. Not that he wasn't, but he cinched it in as the most paid linebacker in the NFL. And he's not even showing he's worth it at this point. T.J. Watt got that same contract 2 years ago, and he's still playing the caliber of breaking his own previous sack record and continuing to do it. The man leaves half a game and still racks up more sacks in one game than most linebackers do on all the other teams in 3 games. He knows he's good. He got his deal. He's fine. For the predictions of next week, it's going to be Bears versus Commanders. My wife took Commanders. I took Commanders. The Bears are great. Defensively, Justin Fields needs help. The offensive coordinator, literally, we're not even going to go there. There was a lot of plays that should have been not called when there was more appropriate opportunities to score and get yardage, and it just flopped every single time. It's the same thing for the Steelers. They have weapons. They got the quarterback, but Matt Canada is just like, I know what a football is, and they're like, you got the job. Jags versus Bills. Like the Jags, but the Bills are taking it. Both of us said that. Saints versus Patriots. She said Saints. I said Patriots. I'm hopeful. The Saints are really hit or miss so far this year. So are the Patriots. That's going to be a game of who wants to be less embarrassing this week. Titans versus Colts. She said Colts. I agree with her to an extent. But the Titans defense is something the Colts have not faced this year, and they look really great. Ravens versus Steelers. Well, yeah, Ravens. Steelers, Kenny Pickett's out the rest of the season, tore his MCL. Yeah, he said he wants to recover properly, not just get thrown back into it. He'll take a pay cut if he has to. Good for him, knowing that his livelihood and his length of career can be longer if he takes care of himself properly from the start. Panthers versus Lions. Well, the Panthers are the laughingstock of the NFL right now, so we're going to go Lions for both of us. Texans versus Falcons. Two teams that very good or very bad. The last 2 weeks, yes, Texans lost one of those two games, but they showed up. C.J. Stroud held that offense together. Collins helped him. The whole offensive line still makes him run around, but he was used to that. And when he played for Ohio State, he ran around like crazy, too. It's no different for him. Seems like it. Just the scheme of how he went from Ohio State to the Texans. He's still running for his life. He's still making incredible throws. He's still relying on one good receiver, which sometimes you have to do in a game. Giants versus Dolphins. Dolphins, hands down. Daniel Jones is not getting it done with the Dolphins. With the Giants, we both said Dolphins. Tua, Hill, Waddle, Mostert. Too good of a offense for the Giants to even think about stopping them. Bengals versus Cardinals. The wife is saying Bengals. They have lost every single game. Cardinals have not. She said Bengals. I said Cardinals. Eagles versus Rams. Easy. Eagles. Rams are doing great. Jalen Hurts is a whole different level on offense than Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford's been playing since 2008. He's on a team that has maybe one good weapon, if he's lucky. And other than that, he has to rely on the defense to help win the game. Jets versus Broncos. Another game of teams that are, do I want to be more embarrassing or do you want to be more embarrassing? Jets with Zach Wilson. Close game against the Chiefs. Did well. Just didn't get the job done. The Chiefs pulled it off right at the end. But I said Jets. She said Broncos. I see them winning over Russell Wilson, his defense. Their defense has been looking kind of sloppy, but also good at the same time. So it's a hit or miss with the Broncos. If you're a fantasy player, I wouldn't consistently take a Broncos player. Chiefs versus Vikings. As much as I love the Vikings, I love Cousins, I love Jefferson, Madison, Osborne. They're all great players. The Chiefs are a leg up. They have big game wins. They have big game energy. And they just know how to get the job done. Mahomes, yeah, he lost a game, but he's not going to lose constantly. He's going to take control of that offense again and be like, hey, Andy Reid, am I still worth this much? And then keep playing. Cowboys versus 49ers. This is the NFC game I have been waiting for, even though it's early on in the year. Cowboys have one loss. 49ers are undefeated still. The Cowboys have been scoring 25 to 30 points plus per game. 49ers have only been allowing less than 15 points a game. We're going to see if they can do it against the 49ers. Doubtful, but there's always hope. There's a lot of crazier things that can happen in the NFL. Packers versus Raiders. We both said Packers. Jordan Love is on a whole different caliber. Let's talk about that for a second. Everyone thought when Rodgers left, Love would not be good. Love, yes, losing some games. It happens. It's his first year leading the Packers. All the weapons from the Packers for the wide receivers left to go to the Jets with Rodgers. And then Rodgers was like, oh, I'm going to tear my Achilles. He made it four snaps into the season. Like I said, no laughing matter. He's old. He might not be able to come back from that. But Love has been able to take the reins, show what made him good in college, show what made him, the Packers even think about drafting him, even though Rodgers blatantly said, if you pick a quarterback, I am quitting the next year or getting moved to a different team. They still said, oh, well, we're doing it. And that was bold of them, but it's paying off. It's not going to be a playoff season this year or next year. It's going to be like what Favre did for the Packers or what Rodgers did. It's going to be one or two seasons of him filling the coaches out, filling out the players, waiting till the right weapons come in, and then just all of a sudden, boom, explosion. 10, 11 win season, playoffs, even in the Super Bowl possibly. And I'm waiting for it. And another quarterback that I see that happening to, whether it's with the Texans or not, I do see C.J. Stroud eventually saying, hey, I'm either tired of the Texans Corporation, please put me somewhere where I can play. And I hope a team like the 49ers or the Cardinals even. Yes, the Cardinals are not great, but I feel like with a better quarterback than Murray or whatever the backup is right now, he would thrive. There's weapons there. There's wide receivers. There's quarterbacks. And they have a decent O-line. And they already have a scheme that he is used to of running and staying out of the pocket to protect yourself or taking off if you need to. Another team I could see him going towards, and this is a really a shot in the dark, is if Zach Wilson finally is done with the Jets. And I could see him going there, but I see the Jets trying to get him, honestly. The Jets have Wilson, and he's just not good. So that's what I'm saying for the next future years and my predictions for the week. It was great talking to y'all, and I'm excited to see you on week 5. Have a good night.
All right, folks, thank you for tuning in to the Trim Radio Network. And don't forget, up next, My World, Live, Laugh, or Whatever with Stu Scheer. We are so looking forward to that. So stick around, because Stu will be on. And we'll see you here in just a bit.